to so many of us. Do it, and the significance of this day will acquire a higher dimension. Bissell's assertion that Germany was not yet ready to be forgiven is both widely supported and widely debated. You can see that coming from the Jewish tradition of forgiveness, Holocaust survivors, and by extension all Jews, could, according to their moral system, justify withholding forgiveness, at least until German explicitly asked for it. As we saw with Amy Bloom in our reading, it may take half a lifetime just to get over the abuse. And after that, there may be little soul energy left for addressing every grievance. Well, that's very powerful stuff. Talking about the Holocaust and school shootings can be overwhelming. Most of us, thank goodness, will never be personally involved with something so horrific. But I use these extreme examples because they make certain points stand out and help us pick apart the logic of ethical arguments. So let's take this down to the personal level. What is forgiveness for us common folk? On any given day, we feel hurt, slighted, or disrespected by someone. The driver who cut us off in traffic, the politician who claimed the problem was our side's fault, the family member who always puts us down, the church member who gets under our skin so easily when they, I better not say what church members do. When we feel we are wronged, if we're not mindful, it's really easy to hang on to slights and grievances. Once established, they can grow into resentments, grudges, and even hatreds, which will gnaw at us until we do something about them. In AA, we say resentments can drive us to drink. If we know the key to emotional relief is to let go of resentment, why do we hold on to feelings of hurt or anger? Sometimes all the way to the grave. What do you think is in it for us? What good does it do us when we hold on to our pain? Sister Helen Prejean, the author of Dead Man Walking, who works with death row inmates and families of their victims, does not recommend that you stay in a place where you are being eaten alive by anger, because there are ways to leave such places. But she doesn't judge unforgiveness as morally impermissible. She emphasizes that forgiveness is not a should, that you should forgive is not expected of you. It is always an option. You can't make someone forgive. It is always a personal choice. Sister Prejean says, unforgiveness can be an authentic stage toward replacement of hate with love. Forgiveness happens on an unpredictable calendar and often in ways we don't control or understand. When it happens, it is an unfolding of a person in grace where you reach a certain wholeness, and it has to do with love. That love will not be overcome. Our instincts help us protect ourselves and press us to demand compensation for the harm others have caused us. Though contrary to much traditional advice on dealing with grievances, holding on to those feelings can be a good thing. The motivating energy that comes with anger, if channeled into protecting ourselves and into correcting injustices, can be healthy and constructive. Victims of oppression and long-term abuse tell how the one domain that remained their own was their inner thoughts and feelings. The vengeful feelings they harbored kept their oppressors from totally dominating them. So not forgiving can provide at least temporary restoration of self-worth and the energy to strike a blow for justice. Some of us are too quick to forgive. Quick forgiveness that doesn't go very deep leaves feelings of resentment under the surface, and they are likely to return later, maybe even years after the original offense. We should be careful not to romanticize forgiveness. For it to have its intended effect, it has to be real. When we experience real forgiveness, we feel it in our gut. Grieving a loss is part of the process of forgiveness. The most worthwhile forgiveness comes when we allow ourselves to grieve our losses and work on forgiving at the same time. When we struggle with anger, resentment, and even hate, and we are still able to forgive, forgiveness has more substance. You may have heard of the stages of grief that we go through after we have been hurt or have suffered a loss. Sadness, denial, bargaining, anger, and finally acceptance. It is not unusual for folks who are trying to forgive someone to feel many of these emotions. And as in any process of grieving a loss, we don't move forward toward forgiveness in a straight line. What I have seen with people who are in the midst of grief is not clear-cut stages, but most experience several of these feelings happening simultaneously. So the process of forgiveness is complex. The title of my sermon should have been, "The Complexity of Forgiveness is Okay." It's okay to embrace all the feelings and even allow them to be very strong. I am not talking about balancing the emotions either. We may feel tremendous grief or hate someone with a passion, and we can work to forgive. Psychotherapist and theologian Thomas More said, "I don't think it's a matter of balancing all these things out. It's being able to hold all of it at the same time. It's the bigness of the person that is at stake." Holding all of those emotions at once is a very tall order, one to which most of us can only aspire. It is also normal to fall apart, to struggle, and most importantly, to look to others for help. And that brings us to why forgiveness is so important in the first place. We all fall short of perfection, especially when trying to deal with life's most persistent problems. We are like other people, no better and no worse. We all hurt other people, and we all need to give and receive forgiveness. So however imperfect our attempts may be, it behooves us to increase our capacity to forgive. The process is rarely simple and never easy, but working on forgiveness can open our hearts to compassion and love. Surely, even if we don't make it all the way to forgiving a particular hurt, turning ourselves into more loving and compassionate people is worth the effort. Go and practice forgiveness, and may you find peace. Now please join in our closing hymn, Shalom Haverim.